And welcome to the Sportscast, March 21st, 2018. We've got Ryan Krista on the line. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, San Diego, how are you? Excuse me, I'm trying to catch my breath after a wild weekend of college basketball. But it's March Madness for sure.
Can you give us a quick recap of what's going on?
Right now we're at the kind of like the 3 days of anxious, want to get back to that basketball feeling we call the Sweet 16. After, you know, the four best days of the college basketball season, you know, we got Thursday and Friday. We are full of upsets. And, you know, we finally got history with a 16 seed falling, and that'll be Virginia to the University of Maryland at Baltimore County. The upsets didn't stop there. You know, we had Loyola Chicago beating Miami. You know, then we had Florida State beating Xavier, so we're down two number one seeds going into the Sweet 16. Nevada was down by 22 points to Cincinnati and came back to beat the Bearcats. There was this upset after upset, you know, which is why they call it March Madness. You had Syracuse beating Michigan State. You know, a team who Syracuse won the first four, and then the first two rounds without scoring 60 points. You know, their defense is on target right now. You know, so, you know, we got one crazy region, the Kentucky region, you know, where Buffalo had beaten Arizona, so that is one of Kentucky's best competitions in, and like we said, the UMBC beat Virginia. So now Kentucky, in their region left, they have Kansas State, who they will be playing, and then Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. So they will not have to face a team higher than the seventh seed at most to get to the Final Four, which is crazy to think about in this day and age. And then in the West, we got Gonzaga versus Florida State, and then we have Michigan versus Texas A&M, who they have just beaten UNC. So, you know, we got a lot of our big fancy blue bloods, you know, traditional powers are out of this tournament earlier than expected. And then we have, in the other one, we have Villanova facing West Virginia, which should be a contrast to style. Villanova is a very deliberate team. They shoot the ball at an excellent pace, but they're not a fast break, up tempo team where you got West Virginia who will want to put you in the track meet. They're going to press you all over. So it could be a unique style game, you know, where which style of basketball prevails. And then you got Texas Tech, you know, a team that most believe overachieved this year versus Purdue, who had a great year but unfortunately sustained an injury to their best player, and that is Isaac Haas, a 7'2" center. Most likely will not be available to play in it. And then finally, in the Midwest, you got Kansas versus Clemson. Clemson might be one of the most impressive teams in this tournament. You know, they took care of New Mexico State quite easily, and then put a thumping to the co-champions of the SEC, Auburn, by winning by 30 points and up by 41 points at one point. They're playing great ball. I don't know if it's good enough to beat Kansas. And then you've got Duke, who has probably the most talented team in the left in the tournament, you know, with three first-round picks and the team not just playing great with talent, but just playing well right now. So they've got, I believe, the toughest out left in terms of no play against the already mentioned Syracuse. So that's what we have in the Sweet 16 right now, Santiago.
Yeah, it's been quite impressive. I think I've been hearing everyone saying, oh, it's, you know, the biggest upsets. Was it what UMBC that had a good they beat Virginia? That's never happened ever. I mean, when was the last time you see a 16 seed beating a first seed?
It never happened. It was the first time in history.
Yeah. So
So I mean that we're not used to that. That when you're in one seed, it's kind of like you got a first round bye. You're just kind of playing to get to the second. Most of the time, you don't even have a competitive game. Your game is 20 to 30 points at least. In the first round, for a number one seed. But there was, there's some factors. Virginia's best bench player, probably the most talented player, was out for the tournament. And then you had a UMBC team that, played kind of a perfect game because they didn't just win the game. A lot of times you see upsets, you're going to see them at the buzzer, a crazy play, but they thoroughly sounded, it thoroughly beat UVA very soundly by 20 points. A team that UVA, who had, if you ask anybody, that's the best defensive team in the country, and UMBC scored quite easily. Unfortunately for them, they kind of ran out against Kansas State, where they, when they played a great game, they just couldn't come up with a clutch basket to beat the Wildcats.
You did say that Loyola Chicago will go far, and you've been right so far.
Yeah, you see, this is a classic mid-major team that's, they're veteran, they're experienced. In the past, the Missouri Valley Conference, when you think about that, you're thinking about one team, and that's Wichita State. And if you're not thinking about Wichita State, you're probably thinking about Illinois State. Now, Illinois State's kind of took a step back this year. Wichita State moved on to the American Conference. This year was all about Loyola Chicago. They had a great regular season. I think I told you in prior podcasts that this is a team that probably almost could have made it as an at-large if they didn't win their conference tournament, but they ended up winning, and that secured their spot. They won two games in the last closing seconds. They're a very exciting, team to watch. Not overly, they don't play at a high pace, but they're sound fundamentally, and play great defense, and they hit open shots, kind of like a Villanova.
We'll go through the Sweet 16 games and you let me know which one will win. Ready?
All right, let's do it.
Kansas State versus Kentucky.
Kentucky, too much size.
Loyola Chicago versus Nevada.
As I was just pumping up Loyola Chicago, I'm going to go with probably the funnest team in the tournament to watch, and that is the Nevada Wolfpack, led by former NBA coach Erik Musselman.
Wow, so you will not be going for Loyola Chicago on this one.
Nope, I Nevada, they have six players. They're all about the same height. They're very exciting. They, free throwing, offense. They shoot a lot of threes. That's probably why they fall behind a lot. They're not a great defensive team, but when they have mixed stops to come back, they have. And they'll be a disappointing game to watch. And one of those two teams is guaranteed their spot in the Elite Eight.
Down to the West, Florida State versus Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, too much experience from the title run last year. I think just a better overall team. But Florida State, right now, obviously they beat Xavier last game. They're playing well. They might have underachieved a little bit this year, so they might be, clicking at the right time.
Michigan versus Texas A&M.
Michigan, who got here by via a buzzer beater against Houston. Texas A&M, again, a team who's ranked in the top 10 in the preseason. With injuries and suspensions, they finally got their team back together and playing great. A huge team size, athletic. I'm going to go with Texas A&M with another upset.
To the East, Villanova versus West Virginia.
Villanova, I'm going to go because they're just built like a Fortune 500 company. They kind of runs itself. Great system, great team, great coach. I love watching West Virginia, and they're a fun team to watch, but I think Villanova wins in the end.
Texas Tech, Purdue.
This to me is a toss-up game. We got two teams. Texas Tech hasn't made it this far in a very long time since Bob Knight's been their coach. Purdue, like I said, they're shorthanded, but I'm going to go with the team of destiny, I think, and that is Texas Tech.
You're right. That is the tightest game of the series.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a, we see a lot of, you know, with all these upsets, you see a lot of, you know, you don't see the 1 versus 4 or 3, but this is a traditional 2 versus 3 matchup you see in the Sweet 16.
Kansas Clemson.
Kansas, too much talent, too much. They're used to this moment. Clemson, great story, great team, great tournament so far, but I think it comes in end.
Syracuse, Duke.
As a Western New Yorker, you know, you got to have heart for Syracuse. You know, we're excited here for them, but Duke, too talented, playing too well. I think this might be a huge blowout victory for Duke in this game.
So you're going for Duke or Syracuse?
Duke.
Duke. You go with history.
I go with history and tradition and just talent.
Exactly.
You know, you talk about talent. You talk about the team with the most NBA players on this roster, and that's Duke.
Yeah. Now, out of all this, the Sweet 16, can you name a winner from the 16?
I don't want to be, you know, hitting that drum again, but I'm going to say the Duke Blue Devils. Just, you know, with that much talent on your roster, that much size, that much shooting, you know, it's an interesting matchup again with Syracuse is that Duke, for many years, is known for their tough man-to-man defense, and now Coach K has gone to the 2-3 zone after spending so many years coaching Team USA with Jim Boeheim, the master of the 2-3 zone. So, yeah, it's an interesting matchup in this game, in the way that Duke has adapted to this 2-3 zone. You know, they're clicking, they got long arms, you know, they're not the best defensive team, but, you know, they're very comfortable in this 2-3 zone, and they're the best offensive team right now. You know, they're efficient. You know, like I said, inside, outside. I just don't see anybody beating them unless Duke has an off day.
Duke is your choice. I will have to go for – why am I thinking Kansas?
You're picking Kansas because, you know, that's a team – this is probably – Bill South's one of the least talented teams, but they got a gamer, and that's Devontae Graham, a guy who's been on the team for several years. You know, he played on the teams that went far the last couple years, and I just feel like, you know, he's able to make clutch shots at clutch moments, and I think he could be the difference for Kansas in a close game. I just don't think they got enough overall skill to win the. In the Final Four. But I like your pick, and I think it could happen.
So it's interesting how we pick, like, our teams from the Midwest. I guess whoever wins the Midwest will probably win the whole thing.
Yeah, we call this the group of death, you know, and we lost one of the members before we got to the Sweet 16, and that's because Syracuse beat Michigan. You know, we're almost, you know, looking at the Duke-Michigan State game in the Sweet 16, you know, and everybody's going crazy because I feel like that should be an Elite 8 game, not a Sweet 16 game. But I guess it looked like the way Michigan State played on Sunday that they already counted their chickens before they hatched.
Switching to the NBA, Jets get the third pick. Thoughts?
NFL?
Yes, NFL.
Sure, yeah. This move has got a drafting a quarterback written all over it. Obviously, they feel like they needed to get to the third pick and get to the quarterback they want. They're being very hush-hush on who that's going to be. If I had to tell you, I think the Browns are going to lean towards taking Josh Allen as a number one pick, so I feel like the Jets are going to probably go with Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, but they have something in their mind, and they want to make sure that they get that person they want.
They're going to get a top 3 quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, like I think we've talked about before, especially if the Browns pick Josh Allen or any other quarterback, I think the Giants are going to pick Saquon Barkley, you know, because they are going to keep Eli Manning for at least one more year. And then they could probably, you know, with a game changer like Saquon Barkley, it's hard to pass up on if you've already got your quarterback.
I don't know. I'm more like, let's plan for the future. We know Eli did not have a good season. He's not going to get any better. I think it's a tough one because Barkley is really, really good.
You know, the reason why I feel like, you know, if you look at the Giants games is why they struggled so much is that they became one-dimensional, and that's because they had to throw the ball so much because they had little to no running game. You add a Saquon Barkley and the game changes. Like, if we don't know that, I would not be surprised if they pick a quarterback. I just feel like they're leaning towards picking Saquon Barkley. And that's, they will go with the quarterback if the Browns pick Saquon Barkley as the number one pick.
What are your thoughts over Richard Sherman's contract with the Niners?
You know, the big thing about Richard Sherman's contract is, you know, people are making a big deal about it because he wanted to negotiate his own contract. He didn't hire an agent for it. He did it all himself. I guess there's some language in it that, you know, may not favor him, but being a Stanford guy, you know, smart guy, he wanted to make sure he, you know, he wanted his thing to be that he did this contract on his own. I think it's a big hit for, you know, going to San Francisco. Obviously, I think it's for two reasons I've heard. Obviously, you know, he enjoyed his time in Seattle and kind of understands why they let him go, but he also wants to make sure they get to play the Seahawks twice a year. Also, Richard Sherman has got a lot, is a very tech-savvy guy, and a lot of hands into a lot of tech-related companies, and, you know, it kind of makes sense for him to be in the Northern California, Silicon Valley area.
Yeah, you know, he was pretty upset for being cut from Seattle, I've heard, and he just wants to stick it to Seattle by joining the Niners.
You know, the Niners are an interesting team. You know, John Lynch has put it together. I think they're a very good team. Are they a playoff team this year? I don't know. It just all depends on how Jimmy Garoppolo does, but they put all the eggs in his basket there. You know, they gave him a big contract. So.
And they got the really seventh pick of the draft.
49ers are doing. Yeah. I like what they're doing, you know.
It might be the...
They took a lot of steps forward.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Seahawks right now are kind of... They're kind of unbuilding themselves a little bit because they got a lot of older players on their team and a lot of higher contracts. So basically right now they have to kind of break that mold, and they're going to go in a new direction. That's why you see them trade a lot or release a lot of their old veteran players that kind of been the mainstays for the Seahawks.
Yeah. Garoppolo is he's undefeated. So he's definitely going to get a lot of he's going to do good things. And hold on. Still there? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my AirPods went away. Anyways, yeah, that is the update on the NFL. Cousins signed the contract. He's official. He's with Minnesota. Great pick by Minnesota. Keenum is going to the Broncos, and Bradford's going to Arizona, and hopefully the Kansas wants to get the Honey Badger. Yeah. Did you know? Did you know that the CFL begins in June? Yeah, I mean, because I was thinking it would start in July. Obviously, I know that they start early because of winter, but it was quite interesting. And I heard they don't make much money. I think a player can make $150,000 max. And are you going to watch the XFL when it comes out next year? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, like the USFL was probably the closest, but it only lasted for 2 years. NMLS. Now switching to the NBA, the Warriors are in trouble. Everyone's getting injured. Do you think they'll be back on time for the playoffs? Back and healthy. Should be good. And you know who I've been seeing a lot lately is Minnesota Timberwolves. Are they the real deal? The playoffs begin on 14th of April. Can the Miami Heat make it? And Ty Lue, what's the whole situation there? Yes, I heard he has health issues, but do you think Cleveland kind of wants to part ways with him eventually? Interesting. I've been hearing different things, but I've just seen the pattern of this organization, how things work. I honestly don't think they want him. There is a pattern of that. It looks like it's gonna, like, he's gonna leave, but it's kind of sad to see Cleveland, you know, disperse like that, and just yeah, we'll see what happens. There you go. Well, ready for some rapid fire random questions? If you had to invest $10 in something, what would you invest? Good call. Favorite late night food? Oh, I already asked you that.
Yeah.
And that is all I have. That's all I have for random questions. I don't have any ones, but it should be a good week of sports. The 22nd tomorrow begins the Sweet 16 round, and it follows on the 23rd, which is on Friday. So it should be action packed. NBA goes on. You know, things are kind of tightening up in the seeding. And the NFL, you know, we're looking forward towards the draft. So, And it's still snowing. All right, thanks, Ryan, for coming to the Sportscast, where we talk all things sports and only sports.
I am here.